from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, yeah. Hey, happy Monday. Good morning,
Kyle. Vibes
are good right now.
They are good.
Yeah. Hanging out. I got some new headphones, courtesy of you. Thank you.
I love it.
These are very nice. They're not broken, which my last headphones definitely were.
They're saucy. They've got personality.
That's they're definitely more distinguished than the typical just black circle headphones I wear.
Yeah, they look like they've got like plush, like brown lining. Yeah.
Oh, that's why our mics were super low. It sounded weird, and I'd go, "Oh, it might be the headphones." Then I look over, and it's because
you didn't turn up.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's
volume.
Fine. We've got a boatload to talk about today. We have another bad Kings loss. Although, is it a bad Kings loss if it's just the norm now?
They're like Popeye. They are who they are. Who they are. Who they are.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
yeah.
I don't have it in me to come in here and be like, that's a team you should beat. Nah, man. We're 63 games into this thing. We're just riding the lightning.
There is no team they should beat. There is no team that they should lose to except for the Celtics.
Yep.
There's one team in the league that you should lose to. I mean, you can throw the Pelicans in there because they will lose to them. But
sure.
But outside of that, there's no team that you that we should beat or could beat.
Nope.
There just isn't.
They're just around.
That's right.
And that is most teams in the NBA right now.
So, it is. It is.
I mean, if you're looking for fire somebody or change this lineup or that, I don't got it for you today. Sorry. Well, we will have some stuff from Kings Rockets. The 49ers are already active in free agency. They are going to release Eric Armstead. Instead of having Armstead take a pay cut, they approached him about a pay cut. He said, no, thank you. I'll take free agency. We will dive into that. Free agent quarterbacks are finding homes. The legal negotiating window is open in the NFL. So we have a million things to get to. But let's start at the top. Let's start with some shooty baskets. Would you consider the Rockets just a bad matchup for the Kings? Is this one of those... Was last night to you an indicator of, hey, this team's just going to be a problem for the next 4 or 5 years?
Oh, no, they're going to be a problem because they've done a really nice job of building out a roster with long, athletic, super physical players. They have an identity, which is to play defense the right way, which is something that just kills Mike Brown, that Emi Udoka has his identity built and he can't get his identity built.
Sure.
But that goes to, you know, when you have a Dylan Brooks and you have a Cam Whitmore and you have a Fred VanVleet and these guys that are known as physical players, and then you surround them, you put them all around like a crazy centerpiece in Alperen Şengün, who that looked about as bad as it could be last night.
That was tough.
I'm bummed out for him. We'll see what's going to happen here in the coming hours with him, but I'm going to guess that, you know, potential blown out knee, potential broken bones in the lower leg. That was one of the more graphic, like, holy, oh, that's not bad. I mean, that's not good at all. To see a player get wheeled off in a wheelchair was not good. Anyway, they just built a team the right way. They've gotten lucky here and there. Even some of their swings at the top haven't really worked out yet, but you can see sort of the outline of what a guy like Jabari Smith Jr. can be, or what Jalen Green can be. But then you have these other pieces that are just like super physical, and the Kings don't do well with super physical.
You know what I loved that the Rockets did this year specifically with their team building is they got adults in the room early. They went and got Fred VanVleet. They went and got Dylan Brooks. They went and got Jeff Green. And they surrounded these guys, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., all these guys you just talked about, Cam Whitmore, I think, can play. They surrounded them immediately with Fred VanVleet, NBA champion, Jeff Green, NBA champion. Dylan Brooks has certainly been around. But they're now building this culture, this kind of tough guy, gritty, physical culture. And they're doing that with players who they have established themselves in the NBA as that. And instead of going, hey, Jalen Green and Cam Whitmore and Jabari Smith and Alperen Şengün, be this way. You went, hey, here's some guys who are going to be that way. And this is what the direction we want this team to go moving forward. And I love that they did that.
Yeah, I thought it was a year too early. But now that you see it in actuality, yes, it makes sense because I think there's a lot of teams that try this too early. The Kings did it years ago. They, you know, they had all of these young players and they bring in George Hill, Vince Carter, and Zach Randolph. Like, we're going to do this, right? It was too early. But what I think we've seen with Houston is having a guy like Şengün who plays years beyond his experience in the league. That's a big deal. And then you're trying to support these other players with the right type of attitude, the right type of pieces. And like, look, Dylan Brooks has a lot of flaws, right? As a human, as a player. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have like a tremendous amount of value in the right situation.
Yep.
And again, if you're going to choose between him and Kyle Kuzma, which is kind of one of the things they did this summer, I would take him because he's at least going to bring a physicality. And like, I don't think there is I don't want Dylan Brooks around my young players. Whatever happened there in Memphis, that was a cultural issue that they had as a whole. Like, you can't blame Dylan Brooks because Ja Morant goes out and waves guns on Instagram like an idiot. That's kind of how they handled things. Like, Dylan Brooks is not coming back. It's like, oh, but the guy who keeps getting suspended by the league gets to come back.
Sure.
So I think it's interesting. And then next season when they get Steven Adams back, if he does actually ever play again, I'm not sure that he will. But you know, when they do get Steven Adams back, that's going to be a really, really stout team.
It's a tough team.
Yeah. I don't know if it can play the right way together. Like, you're still going to have to sift through pieces, but this is one of the few times that I've seen a team marry, like two timelines, like really, really, really well.
Yeah.
And the young guys are buying in and they're getting good.
I'll tell you what, I was super out this offseason on the Kings getting Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Just out, flat out. I wanted no parts of it, not even on a minimum. Keep that guy away. Wasn't wrong. I've just changed my mind on that.
Okay.
Like, because it wasn't really that was the wrong take to have.
Yeah.
I just in retrospect, because I think a player like Dylan Brooks would do the Kings a lot of good.
Yeah, the Kings now have to like go into this offseason looking for the Dylan Brooks of the world. But they always have. That's been a problem since probably like Ron Artest left. They tried this again and again. They like tried to bring in Reggie Evans. You know, they try to bring in these guys, but like 36-year-old Reggie Evans doesn't have the same juice. So they've tried to do this in the past where you're trying to get these physical players, but there's a fine line between being a physical player and being a functional NBA player.
That's a great point.
The Kings have to, they've got to find those guys for sure, because having soft players, having players that disappear for long stretches, having, you know, players that, just can't match the physicality of their opponent. Mm-hmm. That's a problem that just keeps happening. I thought, you know, like physically, Harrison Barnes last night, okay, he brought it. Like mm-hmm. there was some, you know, him and Dylan Brooks going at it.
Yeah.
Then they just went away from it. And that's one of the problems. We talked about this with defensive players. It's great to bring in defensive players, but if the defensive players aren't good enough to play, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter. Like you can't get better defensively with defensive players sitting on your bench.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. And I'd say the same thing with physicality. Like if you're going to go get physical players, they have to be, you're a good team. Mm-hmm. Those players have to be able to start or hold their own for 30 minutes a night on a good team.
Yep.
And so it's not just, hey, let's find a physical player because, you know, you can go to the G League and find a couple of hacks that can come in and start slamming into everybody.
Sure.
But there needs to be some sort of accountability and what's next.
Yeah, no doubt. We will continue diving into that and talk about what went wrong in that Kings-Rockets game coming up with six quick thoughts here in about 5 minutes. But let's get to some NFL stuff real quick. Some stuff that happened over the weekend, some stuff that happened this morning. The NFL's legal negotiating window for free agency opened at 9 a.m. this morning. So teams can now talk to free agents who are still under contract with their team.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've been released already this offseason, they've been able to sign whenever. But if they have not been released, they are technically not out from under their contract until the new league year begins at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. So you can agree to contracts now, but they can't actually be signed just yet. So far today, some notable ones. Where are we at? DeAndre Swift going to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Running back DeAndre Swift going from the Eagles to the Bears on a 3-year deal. Worth up to $24.5 million. Another running back, Tony Pollard, signing with the Titans on a 3-year, $24 million deal. And then the 49ers are signing quarterback Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen back in the building as QB2 or QB3. We'll dive into that a little bit later. The big one, though, is the Eric Armstead release. I thought that was something that always could have happened this year. They're designating it a post-June 1st release, so he'll be able to sign now. But okay. the cap hit won't come in until after June 1. As a post-June 1st release, they save $18 million against the cap this year by releasing Armstead. They wanted him to take a pay cut. He said, I'll search free agency instead. And I'm fascinated to see how that goes for him. I'm really rooting for him.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if that massive deal is going to be out there. Or maybe it's just a principal thing for him.
Well, I think he wanted to see what deal is out there.
Sure.
And I don't blame him. And there's a possibility for a reunion, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a great 49er. I mean, 9 years with the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want that 10th year. We do have a former Texans pass rusher, Jonathan Greenard, signed a 4-year, $76 million deal, $42 million guaranteed with the Vikings.
Hmm.
That means Danielle Hunter is probably looking for a new spot.
Yeah, yeah. Danielle Hunter is a name that Mike Silver brought up. Silver did a thread on Twitter yesterday. One of those ones that it's not reporting, but it's some educated guessing and some thoughts. And Danielle Hunter was a name he brought up, and that's what I'm interested to see from the 49ers specifically. And we'll get into the Raiders free agency stuff coming up as well. But I'm interested to see at defensive end, if you're going to talk about your defensive line as the tip of the spear on defense, you can't roll out there this year with Javon Hargrave, who was really disappointing this season, I thought, and Nick Bosa, and then nothing else.
Yeah.
They have to go make a significant signing, and if you're clearing all this cap space, that to me is where you got to use it.
I agree.
Yeah. So Russell Wilson signing a 1-year deal with the Steelers. And then Baker Mayfield signing back with the Bucks on a 3-year deal worth up to $100 million. We will discuss those two signings as it pertains to the Raiders quarterback options coming up in a bit as well. We'll have tons of NFL news for you today. As it comes out, we will have it for you. We'll break it all down. Of course, Raiders, 49ers, the big names across the NFL, we'll have it all for you right here on ESPN 1320. But let's put a pin in that briefly, and let's dive deep on this Kings 112-104 loss to the Rockets. We'll have six quick thoughts with James Hamm coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, that's us. I want to remind you that you can hit us up, 916-909-1320. Actually, I'm not sure if I've unlocked the phones yet, and that's in the other room, so I can't go do that right now.
This might be a day where we don't unlock the phones because we're so busy.
It's a great point.
I mean, Gabe Davis just signed with the Jaguars.
Has anybody in NFL history, aside from Matt Flynn, generated more buzz off one game and then failed as spectacularly? Again, aside from Matt Flynn, who had that huge game against Green Bay. Okay. Against Detroit when he was with Green Bay, signed a huge deal with the Seahawks and then got beat out by Russell Wilson in his first year there. Gabe Davis had that huge playoff game in Kansas City where he caught like four touchdowns in that epic game where the Chiefs tied it with 13 seconds left. Gabe Dave had a huge game that day. And the next season going in, especially with fantasy analysts, it was like, get Gabe Davis, Gabe Davis, why does it? Oh my God. And he has not been a super effective player since.
Yeah, he's not great. I would say the one other guy is Larry Brown when he won the Super Bowl MVP and then signed a massive deal with the Raiders. And it was like, oh, that was an overpay. And it ended up being an overpay and an overpay. And like, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, someone said Matt Castle almost. Matt Castle had a really good season with the Patriots, though. I think they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Your Tom Brady got hurt.
They dealt.
I'm talking like one game.
They dealt Mac Jones yesterday, didn't they? Or they're about to?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe to the Jags.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. Yeah, it's either the Jags or Carolina. Okay. Like, there's always someone winning.
Did I have a fever dream? Did I make that up? He got traded to the Jags?
No, I remember seeing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville native.
Played we got Doris okay. Armstrong, defensive tackle, is close to finalizing a deal with the Commanders, leaving the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure. Doris Armstrong, Kansas legend.
There you go.
Liked him a lot in the draft. Yeah. A little bit disappointing, but still an effective player, for sure. Let's get to the Kings game from last night. You want to dive in? Six quick thoughts?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Hey, six quick thoughts brought to you by nobody yet. Reach out if you want to sponsor the segment.
It'd be you.
Investors? Possibly. I need that as a drop. All right. Quick thought number one, James.
Not great. Domantas Sabonis almost posted a double-double in the first and finished the night with 25 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists. On the downside, he killed the team with 9 turnovers. Every once in a while, Kyle, Sabonis has one of these games, and you just got to deal with it.
Yep.
There's no way to win a game that I can remember when you have a single player having 9 turnovers. He had 9 of the team's 12 turnovers.
Yeah, and like you said, that's going to happen sometimes, especially when you have the ball as much as he does. Mm-hmm. That was just, maybe a case of him trying to do too much since everybody else was struggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't love it. Just a key cog in the loss for sure, but there was plenty wrong yesterday.
Yes, number definitely. Sabonis turned the ball over and De'Aaron Fox started settling for too many perimeter jumpers. Once he went cold, the game was over. 18 points, 9 rebounds, but 7 of 21 from the field. Tough look.
It feels like we just talked about this on Friday, how much better De'Aaron has gotten is picking his spots with the three ball and the perimeter jumpers. Where, hey, you know what? It's falling tonight, and you might see him go 5 of 11. But then there's games like yesterday where, hey, it wasn't working, and he's been so good at getting into the paint, but then even the mid-range stuff wasn't working, and the stuff in the paint wasn't. It just wasn't. Really good defensive game plan, I think, from Ime Udoka.
Yep.
But the Kings also just had some open shots that didn't go down.
Yeah, they shot the ball poorly. You know what they look like? They look like a team that was on like the fourth night of a back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. It was like...
The dreaded back-to-back-to-back-to-back, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, hey, where's the energy? Where is the oomph? Mm-hmm. You're on your home court. 18,000 people showed up again.
Yeah.
And it felt like a lack of, you know, once we got into the second half, mm-hmm. like it's almost like they went into halftime and everyone had like a giant burrito from Chipotle.
Yeah, 14, it was like, 14 third quarter points, dude.
Yeah, it was like everyone's like, oh.
I
need a nap.
I don't understand. I don't get it. But Fox specifically did not have his best game yesterday, for sure. He's been playing really well lately, but yesterday was a little bit of a mess. Number three.
Aggressive early, disappeared late. Keegan Murray looked like he was ready to put up big numbers, scoring 8 points in the first quarter. He was aggressive. He got to the free throw line, heaven forbid. This is a guy that does not get to the free throw line. He finished the game with 13 points and 6 rebounds. He also got, I don't know what happened late in the game, but he got a little tweaked. So I don't know if it was an ankle or what, but he disappeared for a few minutes, came back. I think he finished the game, but definitely something to keep an eye out for. Keegan Murray, we're going to have a longer discussion about Keegan later in the show, I think.
Yeah, we need to talk about Keegan because... we had a whole big discussion just before this stretch of five games about how important Keegan Murray's development is for the Kings the rest of the way and beyond. And ever since then, it's been ugly, and we'll discuss that. Yesterday was not necessarily an outlier performance. Number four.
Gave it a shot. Malik Monk is the Kings' go-to guy off the bench, but the Rockets did a nice job limiting his game. He came alive late, 20 points, dished out 5 assists. He looked like he was still trying to give it a go and trying to bring his team back. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say the other guys weren't, but I thought he really like showed you like the passion. Mm-hmm. He did not want to get booed.
Yeah, and Fox 40 Sean Cunningham posted a video of Monk going to the bench and kind of having a discussion with the coaches or yelling at somebody as he was going to the bench and then walking into the locker room.
Yep.
Into the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind that.
I don't either.
He gives a damn. That mm-hmm. wasn't unwarranted. He didn't get in anybody's face. He didn't push anybody. He didn't hit anybody. There was nothing. He was fired up about, I don't know exactly what. It's like, hey, get... That's a guy who cares, and he's pissed off, so he's going to go walk into the tunnel for a second. I didn't mind that at all.
Yeah, he was also, at a certain point, he was yelling at the officials, too.
Sure.
And I think he was trying to avoid just getting himself and hurting his team even further.
Ooh.
But he also did, you know, come back out and play well.
Let's put a pin in Six Quick Thoughts real quick. We've got some breaking news from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh.
They're adding one of the top free agent defenders in this year's free agent class. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from the Miami Dolphins, is heading to the Raiders, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. He gets a 4-year deal worth $110 million, up to $110 million, that includes $84.75 million guaranteed. That is an excellent signing for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They badly needed interior defensive line help. I think kind of every team does. But Christian Wilkins is outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, the way to build a good team and a way to support a young coach is to build the coaching staff around
trenches.
Him. But front line, defensive line, offensive line, build totally it out. Totally. Give him a shot. Give him a shot.
Yeah, Wilkins, very good pass rusher. Excellent against the run as well. I love that signing, and I think he's going to be really, really good next to Max Crosby and Malcolm Kuntz as well. All right, number five, back to Six Quick Thoughts. We'll get into the free agency stuff a bit later on. Number five.
Yeah, fought the good fight. I thought Davion Mitchell didn't stop playing. He played hard all on the defensive end. He added 8 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds off the bench. His rebounding was surprisingly good. I know it's only 2, but he actually like tipped out a couple of balls, and then I thought he was flying in trying to help out. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. He has been. There were a lot of times early this year where you'd go, whoa, Davion Mitchell played 8 minutes last night?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize him at all. You see he's playing with a lot of force, and you notice when he's on the court, and I thought that was the case yesterday as well. Final one, number six.
Trouble of the triple. The Kings couldn't shoot from the outside. They shot 6 of 32 from long range. The Rockets ranked 28th in the league at 34.9%, and they roasted the Kings on 12 for 29 shooting. That's not a trend, Kyle. It's an identity.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It is what it is.
It's just kind of the deal at this point. I mean,
just pray you don't face the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs.
Although they lost to the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama and Devin Vassell the other day. So.
Oh, tough look.
So that's where
that's a tough look.
All right, we will continue talking about this. I want to have bigger conversations with you about Keegan Murray and about Davion Mitchell, but let's talk NFL free agency because that is in full swing. The Raiders have made a huge splash. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the 49ers as well. What are we looking for out of free agency from both of the teams? All of that and more coming up on The Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
The legal negotiating window is open in the NFL.
Teams bring it on.
Agreeing to turn. Important thing here, contracts cannot be signed right now.
Okay.
So nothing is official until the start of the league year, which is 1 p.m. on Wednesday. 1 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. So nothing's official. The Raiders have agreed to a deal with Christian Wilkins, who is one of the top, maybe depending on who you talk to, the best defender on the market, the best defender left on the market, with all due respect to Daniil Hunter and others. 4 years, $110 million, $84.75 guaranteed. He is 28 years old, just turned 28. He won't be 29 until late in the season. I really, really love this for the Raiders. This is such a quality signing. It's expensive for sure, but you're getting a really good player, one of the three or five best players at that position, which was a position of need for Las Vegas. You're getting him in his prime. You're not throwing a draft pick at it and crossing your fingers that it works out. You're like, no, this is a proven NFL caliber player. You're paying to bring him in. And I think this is a great start for new GM Tom Telesco.
Yeah, to me, you have to start building out your line. That's how great teams are built. And I'm not sure what Miami was doing allowing him out the door, and you know, because it's not like their defense is good. Their defense is sketch. And they don't need to lose defenders. They need to add defenders. And losing a big one in the center of your line is just crazy.
They got to figure out how they're going to pay Tua.
That's tough.
That's what they're gearing up for.
Yeah.
That's a little bit what I think the 49ers are doing too this offseason, is not only figuring out the cap this year, but A, I think trying to create room to make a notable signing, but B, gearing up to possibly be paying a quarterback more than $6 an hour next year.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
good for the Raiders, man. I love that.
What do we got? Jordan Schultz, Brandon Jones plans to sign a 3-year, $20 million deal with the Denver Broncos, again, leaving the Miami Dolphins.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Brandon Jones.
Sure.
Free safety.
Okay. Great.
Oh, Otto Porter getting waived. That's interesting.
Should the 49ers sign him?
Should the 49ers sign Otto Porter here on the Insiders?
That's... Yeah, we'll keep you up to date on the latest around NFL free agency here as we cruise along. Like I said, with the Christian Wilkins thing, to me, figuring out defensive tackle was one of the biggest things the Raiders had to do this offseason. I think they need to figure out their offensive line. I think they have three starters hitting free agency. So they need to figure that out. They need to figure out what they're doing at quarterback long term. But man, for now, it's a good start. Like you said, I would way rather figure out what I'm doing in the trenches and start Aiden O'Connell for another year than go all out to get either an expensive free agent quarterback, whether it was Kirk Cousins, like I said, Mac Jones and Russell Wilson off the board. But whether it's Kirk Cousins or somebody else, bringing them onto a team that needs help in other spots versus, hey, going to build this thing out. Even if it's rolling with Aiden O'Connell, if there's somebody you like in the draft, it's not a quarterback or you don't want to trade up for a quarterback, you can continue filling out the roster and figure out quarterback later.
No,
I think that's the right way to go.
You do have to fill out, find the guy.
Sure.
But you might be able to do that in the first round.
Yeah, and maybe...
it's a deep draft.
And you can still draft a quarterback that you think has upside in the second or third round. You don't necessarily... Because I don't think any where the Raiders are picking, their 13th. I don't think there's going to be a quarterback that falls to that spot just based on everything I've read and heard at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the three best quarterbacks, that's Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, are all going to go in the first three picks. Whether it's those teams picking in the top three or whether it's a team trading up, I just don't think we're going to see the Raiders trade up to number three to try and get a quarterback. Especially since I don't think the Patriots are going to want to trade out of three because they just traded Mac Jones.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least you didn't go out and trade for Mac Jones.
That's a great point.
That's added bonus, right?
Dude, he was a Pro Bowler as a rookie.
Yeah.
He made the Pro Bowl. And now before his rookie contract is up, he's being traded for a sixth-round pick. Whew. Ouch. It also underscores why it was important for the 49ers to move Trey Lance last offseason.
I always find it interesting, like Mac Jones, if you watch any of the NFL stuff, they just roast him for having like a weak arm. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback get roasted like that since like Chad Pennington.
I was always mystified at the top three talk for him.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a guy, like he was really good at Alabama. Like, he was a very, very good player at Alabama. But... had the Niners traded up to get him at number three overall, that always felt crazy to me because he's not that kind of prospect with that kind of ceiling.
Yeah.
Just a guy. You see it. He couldn't elevate the Patriots, started losing guys, and Mac Jones couldn't elevate him. Yeah. Also, Bill Belichick hosed him. Bringing in Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator for your second year quarterback, that's crazy.
It's not good.
Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, hopefully he gets a start somewhere else. Yeah. It's always a team like Jacksonville or Carolina that's willing to give somebody another shot.
Yeah. With the Raiders, I thought Eric Armstead might be a logical landing spot. For the Raiders would be a logical landing spot for Eric Armstead.
Uh-huh.
Because they do need that help inside. He's versatile. He can play outside. He can play inside. He's super experienced. Now I'm less inclined to believe that Armstead is going to land there, where he would probably not make as much as he would have with his pay cut from the 49ers.
What would be fair?
For Armstead?
For Armstead.
Oh, God.
I mean, you have to strip down sort of the local kid. You got to strip down, you know, that he's been with you for a long time. You got to be realistic about who he is now. He's missed, what, 13 games over the last two seasons.
So he's his APY, his salary, his average per year, his average salary per year is $17 million right now. The Niners wanted him to take a pay cut. And again, the way contracts work, we're not going to get into the minutia of it, though. He makes $17 million a year. Like, I look at somebody like DJ Reader from the Bengals, who I think is probably a better player at this point. He got 13 and a quarter. I think Cam Hayward's probably a better player at this point. He got 16.4. Grady Jarrett, who's at about the same, maybe a little better at this point, 16 and a half is his annual salary. If Armstead thinks he's going to get like DJ Reader type of money or Cam Hayward type of money on the open, I just don't see it. If a team gives him 10 a year, that's what DJ Jones got from the Broncos.
Okay.
The team gives him 10 a year, like 3 and 30. That would make sense to me. But I don't think that's the deal he's looking for. So I don't know if this is a, hey, I want to go see what, I see the contract the Niners have on the table. I think I'm worth more than that. I'm going to go see on the open market if I am. And maybe he's not. Maybe he comes back to San Francisco and he re-signs and that's what it is. But I don't think some crazy $15 million a year contract is out there for him at this point.
No, I don't think so either.
He's been banged up the last couple of years.
It takes one team. You know, there was a point in his career where 16 yeah. and 17 games.
Yeah.
But at this point, I just don't know. I mean, you're on the wrong side of 30. Although in the NFL, for a defensive lineman, you know, you can go into your 30s pretty good.
Sure.
But still, I mean, he means a lot off the field. He's a great community guy. He's a great locker room guy.
No doubt.
But at the end of the day, like that was one of those spots on the line where you kind of felt like they might be able to go out and find someone better.
Yeah, if not necessarily better, less expensive.
Yeah, younger, less expensive.
Less expensive, yeah. Healthier. Uh-huh. He said Armstead has been banged up the last couple of years. Remember, he missed the final. He got hurt week 13 against Philly and then missed the rest of the year until the divisional game against the Packers. And granted, he always shows out in the playoffs, and that's one of the hard things with Armstead. He had 16 pressures just in three playoff games.
Wow.
He's really, really productive, and he did that at the end of 2021 as well. He started playing his best football down the stretch and into the postseason. So that's all marks in his favor, but man, you got a guy on the wrong side of 30. He turns 31 early this season in November. He'll turn 31. He's dealt with injury issues the last couple of years. His production from a sack standpoint has not been awesome.
Yeah, it's taken a big hit.
Over the last couple of years. So I respect, like you said, he has done everything for the 49ers. He's been up and down and a key piece of their turnaround. He is one of the last kind of vestiges of the previous regime.
Mm-hmm.
All respect to him going out and trying to get his bag. And frankly, I hope he gets it. I don't think it's there. I really don't.
Yeah.
Unless the Niners are trying to make him take some crazy disrespectful pay cut, like we'll give you a veteran minimum.
Or $7 million a year or something.
Yeah, there'll be a deal, I think, bigger than that out there for him. But if he's looking for something like 15, 16, 17 a year, I'm not buying it.
All right.
Great 49er, though.
I think it's a wait and see. Like, I don't think that we've fully seen the last of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Niners made a move at quarterback. They signed Brandon Allen. So he will be back. Whether he's QB2, he was QB3 all year last year with Sam Darnold backing up Brock Purdy. I'm super interested to see how they operate a quarterback this offseason.
Okay.
Because this is the first time, really since... So 2017, that offseason, they didn't do anything at quarterback. They drafted C.J. Beathard and brought in Brian Hoyer. So that was... And signed Nick Mullins as an undrafted free agent. So 2017... Going into the next offseason, the question was whether you're going to pay Jimmy Garoppolo, and they did. 2018, Garoppolo gets hurt. So 2019, there's a question about whether he's going to be back in time. Okay, but he is. They fall short in the Super Bowl that year. And now the question is, can Jimmy Garoppolo play? Can he win a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just been all this tumult at the position since then. And this is really the first time the Niners have gone into an offseason going, yeah, hey, we have a healthy starting quarterback. We know he's going to be our starter. We think we can win a Super Bowl with him. He played every game except for the one that he sat out at the end of the year because everything was cinched up. So I get how they could look at this like, hey, everything's fine. We have a quarterback and we don't have to invest any more at the position. But to me, you still have to insulate yourself from injury. Brandon Allen, God love him, is not a player I'm confident in. If Brock Purdy misses 8 games, that Brandon Allen can step in and go 6-2.
No.
And I don't think that if you're drafting a quarterback.
Did you feel that Sam Darnold was? They could go 6-2?
No. Not like that, but I could see why you could talk yourself into that if you're the 49ers.
Okay.
Just the upside is there. I personally never really bought it. The preseason Sam Darnold hype last year was insane. The preseason, yeah. If you Google Sam Darnold MVP, there were like sports books sweating that he would come in early in the Super Bowl and win Super Bowl MVP if Purdy got hurt because so many people had bet on Sam Darnold to win Super Bowl MVP. There were people betting on him to win MVP of the league because there was an expectation that Purdy was either going to get hurt early or not be able to recover from his elbow injury, and Darnold was going to step in and lead the 49ers to new heights. The preseason Sam Darnold hype was crazy, dude.
I agree. And at this point, like, do you think that signing Brandon Allen means that you're not going to bring back Darnold? It still feels like it's possible. There are rumors that the 49ers were in on the Christian Wilkins signing before he chose the Raiders.
That makes sense. It'd kick tires.
Yeah.
And see what kind of his price is.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably doing that with everybody. Realistically, you could probably say every team kicked tires on every player.
That's true.
Because if you're the 49ers, I think Drew Rosenhaus is Christian Wilkins' agent. If you're the 49ers and you're calling Drew Rosenhaus or whoever his agent is, I think Schefter said it was Drew Rosenhaus. David Mulligetta. Sorry, David Mulligetta.
Okay.
And you're calling David Mulligetta and you're going, hey, what's Wilkins want? What's the price range here? And if he says no less than 4 and 110, like, okay, well, goodbye then. We checked. But yeah, why would you not look into bringing Christian Wilkins in?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not great, though, that Javon Hargrave was so bad last year that the Niners are already like, hey, we need to spend big at defensive tackle again.
Yeah, that's...
Don't love that.
Yeah, that's not good. Now, do you think that there's a way that you put the right piece next to him, Kyle, and he ends up being recovering and giving you value for the contract that you signed him to? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. He's a good player still.
Yeah.
But I think last year there were some flashes where you're like, man, that might be the best player on the field. And he'd do that for 2 plays. And then he was for the whole year, he was pretty non-productive. It was pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Their pass rush shouldn't have been as big of a problem as it was with him in the middle, with Armstead.
No, I thought their pass rush, I mean, it's something that I thought was an issue early in the season and never really like came to fruition. You were waiting for this great defensive line to step up and never found a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was really strange. And
that they traded for 2 separate defensive ends during the year is not great. It's not a great sign for what you got going on along the defensive line. No, as far as quarterback goes, though, I don't believe that re-signing Brandon Allen should preclude the 49ers from doing something more significant at quarterback. I mean, you look at their quarterback room, okay? Brandon Allen is making very little money. I haven't seen the contract.
Probably like yet. $2 million.
Let's call it $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Brock Purdy against the cap this year is going to cost 1.1.
Oh, that's nothing.
So that's between 2 quarterbacks. You're at 3.1 million for your entire quarterback room. You could very easily go out and grab a free agent quarterback that you think is. Hey, Zach Wilson, we're going to try and go reclamation project again. Not what I would do, but also wouldn't have signed Sam Darnold. So that's that. Maybe it's Nate Sudfeld, who you paid to be QB2 2 years ago, and then Brock Purdy beat him out.
Yep.
Maybe he's going to be QB2 now. Maybe they still really like him. I just don't, I think they need to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's not, oh, hey, Brandon Allen, bringing a sixth-round pick at quarterback and you're all set. Because in that situation, unless that sixth-round pick is the second coming of Brock Purdy, doubtful, you're screwed if Brock Purdy gets hurt.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Unless the Niners really love Brandon Allen and there's something I'm not seeing, but...
So what you're saying is that 49ers should go out and sign Jimmy Garoppolo to come back.
Stop.
No?
No.
No?
No. Do not put that evil on me. We have avoided, thankfully, the Kirk Cousins thing this offseason with Kirk Cousins being a free agent. We've avoided it. The Niners aren't getting free Kirk Cousins. He's not set to visit. There's been no reporting about it. There's no feigned interest. There's nothing. Kirk Cousins is out of my freaking life, and I couldn't be happier.
That's right.
I could not be happier about it.
Okay, so then who?
Do not bring Jimmy Garoppolo back into my life. Who? I've gotten rid of him. Kirk Cousins is now gone.
That's right.
They've been put in little boxes and tossed out into the abyss of me not having to care anymore.
So you're okay with Sam Darnold, but outside
Sam Darnold,
who else?
I guess.
I don't want any part of... let me see. The kid from the Jets.
Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I don't want any part of Zach Wilson. Yeah.
He stinks. Jacoby Brissett would be great. Jacoby Brissett should get paid.
Yeah, why is he not a starter somewhere?
Could probably start for some teams.
Yeah.
And if he's getting backup money, he should be getting very, very good backup money. Okay. And probably more than the 49ers can afford. I wouldn't mind Tyrod Taylor. But it's like Marcus Mariota, no. Jameis Winston?
No.
You out on Jameis?
That's a lot of interceptions.
If you're pulling up going, yeah, hey, Sam Darnold's fine, I could totally see the Niners talking themselves into Jameis.
Okay. No, I mean, as a backup, yeah, that's fine. What are you going to have to pay for him, though?
I don't know. I have no idea what his market looks like.
Yeah.
Last year he made $4 million.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it'd be fine. With that, but yeah, like Gardner Minshew made 3.5 last year. He'll probably make more than that this year.
I like Gardner Minshew.
I do too. Teddy Bridgewater retired. Tyler Huntley, former Pro Bowler. Joe Flacco, do anything for you?
No.
I'm out on Joe Flacco. Yeah, just like Nate Sudfeld, Carson Wentz.
No.
Kyle Allen, Trevor Siemian. It's all these just...
Meh.
These are all the same quarterback. Kyle Allen, A.J. McCarron, Trevor Siemian, Matt Barkley, Jeff Driskel, Mason Rudolph, Nathan Peterman, Will Greer, Brett Rypien, all the same guy.
Yeah.
And they all stink. No. If you want a more quality backup, you either have to draft one earlier than you'd probably like.
Instead of blowing a third-round pick on a running back, are you saying?
Yeah, do it on a quarterback.
There you go.
But maybe it's Jameis Winston, maybe it's Drew Locke. I don't know. It's never, the thing is all of these names are like, ugh. But yeah. That's it. Like you're not going to get a backup quarterback you're excited about.
Now I'm...
The quarterbacks you're excited about are starting somewhere.
After you said all of these names, it's like, okay, like I could take Winston. I would take...
Right?
Brissett, I would take Winston, I would take Gardner Minshew.
Those three, but again, Gardner Minshew, if he doesn't get a look as a starter somewhere... where he's competing for a job,
maybe.
I think he's going to get good backup money, I think Jacoby Brissett the same. Jameis Winston is the one I don't know about. I don't know if there's some team that also looks at him as like, hey, yeah, he's still got a big arm, and I think we can get him in this offense and settle him down.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Backup quarterback's hard, dude.
It seems like it's more difficult than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
All right.
I think if I'm ranking these, I think it's Brissett 1, Minshew 2, Winston 3, Drew Locke 4.
Okay, I would probably take Drew Locke too. I don't know if I'd
Nate Sudfeld 5.
You'd be like okay with him.
Nate Sudfeld goes in the bucket with Matt Barkley, Trevor Siemian, and those guys. Same guy. Just same dude.
Oh yeah.
I'm just out.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's a good spot to be in though. It's a good spot to be in that with the 49ers for the first time in forever, we're like, yeah, hey, we know what they're doing at quarterback. And the fact that the Raiders don't know necessarily what they're doing at quarterback yet, but they're instead going out and instead of overpaying for one of these free agents and going, yeah, hey, save us. Ryan Tannehill, save us. Kirk Cousins, save us. Like, nah, man, build out the trenches, go get Christian Wilkins, build out that defense, which played really well down the stretch last year. Continue building out that defense, and you're just lowering the bar for what you need at quarterback. I don't think Aiden O'Connell is it necessarily, but you like Aiden O'Connell better if your defense is going to be one of the six or seven best defenses in the league.
Mm.
Again, they got to improve. I don't think Aiden O'Connell's the guy.
No, I don't think he's the guy. All
due respect to him.
Yeah.
But if you're not able to get a quarterback in the draft that you love this year, yeah, hey, just keep building. Lower that bar so when you do get a quarterback, they can step in and have success.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Shout out to the Raiders. And shout out to the 49ers for not doing anything.
Hey, if I'm the Raiders, I'm at least considering moving up in the draft. Like, I don't know what their draft pick situation is, but like, if you can add a couple of these players that we're looking at right now, and you can start piecing some things together.
My only issue with it is I don't know that there's a trade up available.
Okay.
Because the Bears are, it by all appearances, taking Caleb Williams. The Commanders are by all appearances going to stick and take a quarterback. Whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
And then the Patriots just traded their quarterback.
Mm.
And unless they're rolling with Bailey Zappe, I can't imagine they're not taking a quarterback. So to me, you'd be trading up to 4 to take somebody that you could very likely get at 13.
All right.
But to your point, if the Bears call and go, yeah, hey, the number one pick's available. I don't load the assets for it. It's probably a couple firsts.
A lot of firsts.
Couple additional firsts along with this year.
Yeah, but you're probably talking
day two stuff.
3 firsts and some more than that.
Yeah, would the Niners go from 12 to 3? It was 3 first round picks and a third. Yeah, 3 firsts and a third.
Yeah, but I would also say that.
So 13 to 1, you're probably 3 firsts. Couple of seconds.
You might be 4 first because this is like a guy who's considered, you know,
that's
potentially generational.
God, that's a good point.
Generational guy.
Mm.
So.
And if the Bears are unloading that pick, you're going to have competition for it. They're not just calling the Raiders and being like, hey, you want to move up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. 4 first. Good point.
Would you trade for Justin Fields?
If I'm the Raiders?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It just is. He's at the point where he's in going into the final year of his rookie deal. I doubt the Bears are going to pick up his 5th-year option, which would be pretty expensive anyways. It just, I have too many questions about him as a player still. Yeah, 2024 is the final year of his rookie deal. He's making $6 million against the cap, which is fine, especially with his upside, but we're in year 3 and we still have this many questions about him. I don't think that's a risk I'm taking. Unless the Bears are like, yeah, we'll take a 6th for him. We'll do the Mac Jones deal. We'll take a 4th. I would do a 4th for Justin Fields, just see what he's got.
Okay.
I think I would do that. But if they want anything earlier than that, I'm out.
All right.
I think I'm out. All right. And we're out. Let's hit a break. We got a second hour coming up. We'll have more Kings for you. We'll have more NFL stuff coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.